Open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Yes, this is the message that I was going to preach on Valentine's Day. And of course, you know that story. We had two Sundays with snow. The third Sunday was ice, and we wouldn't have been able to have the morning service at least. And then that's when we decided we'd just close down until today, just praying everybody will get well. And I don't say it every Sunday, but I want to thank you for those that are watching on our live stream cast. I just pray that you'll pass the word on to someone else. We'd like to invite you to come and visit with us here at Trinity. And watching is good, and I'm glad you are, but it's not the same as being in the house of the Lord. Did you hear that, church members? just keep watching. We appreciate it so much. Love, if we're going to give our message a title today, we'd call it Love is the Greatest. Love is the Greatest. Now, listen to what we have to say here this morning, and I believe you'll come to that same conclusion if you haven't already. Isn't it wonderful to know that you're loved? I'm so glad in spite of me that God loves me. I'm glad my wife loves me. I'm glad my children love me, grandchildren love me. Oh, my. And I believe that I do. I guess it might take a lot for granted, but I thank God. I believe our church loves our pastor. I believe that. I want to tell you something, church, that keeps you going. To know that you have a family like you. And that you're praying mainly for my wife. And for the church in general. Love is the greatest. You know, already know that 1 Corinthians 13 is sometimes referred to as the love chapter. I won't take time to read all the verses. But in verse 13, the last verse, he sums up by saying, "And now about a faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity," or love. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be here today. Thank you for the wonderful Spirit. And just to be here, God, I pray we'll not have to close down again. And we'll just keep going for the glory of God. And we'll continue to pray for each other. Pray for all those that are sick. God, that it's on our prayer list. And you that are listening, you know who I'm talking about. Each one of you, God help you, I pray. May he just bestow upon you a special portion of his wonderful and sweet grace. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you will speak to our hearts now. May we just put aside that which would keep us from listening, keep us from hearing what we need to hear. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin by saying this. Love is God's plan. Now just think about that a minute. Love is God's plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, you have read it and you know about it. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's a time for all these different things. And I believe it's in verse 8 that it says there's a time to love. There's a time to love. And let's put aside from our minds, we're talking about today God's love, not sensual. You know, if you love God like you should, your marriage will be what it ought to be, generally speaking. Love is greater than faith or hope. We're told that there in our verse. It's the greatest subject in the Bible. Oh, my. How great it is, a subject that affects all people, all people. It's a subject that has life-changing power. You know, if you win somebody to Christ, it's going to be because you love them to Christ. You have to love them no matter about who they are. I've been had my experience and, well, actually blessing really down through the years to know some pretty rough characters. And I remember one, this guy was about 6 foot, 4 or 5, maybe a little taller, weighed about 275 pounds. I mean, just a hulk of a man. And I didn't get to lead him to the Lord, but years after they had moved from where we were, I think if I remember right, his wife led him to Christ. And he became just meek and kind and one of the finest individuals you ever want to meet. Folks, it's the grace of God that does that. It really is. It's just wonderful love. Changes lives. Love is also is power to change our attitude. You ever known anybody had bad attitude? Matter of fact, let me be plain. They just had a nasty attitude. A person like that's hard to get along with. You know that? They really are. I used to work with a man like that when I was in the Air Force. Oh, my. I believe he took a sour pill every morning when he got up. I really do. You couldn't do anything. Anything that you did for him and try to please him, he always had something negative to say. And I'll stop there because the story gets carried on and finally came to a minds at ease and at peace. But anyway, yeah, good attitude. Love is the power that'll change your marriage. I'm going to ask what kind of questions you call the serious questions. Wife, let me ask you something. Do you love your husband? And the other way, wives, do you love your husband? Really? Do you not? Don't lift your hand. Don't shake your head. But if it's good, yeah, I guess it'd be okay to shake your head. Love. Oh, my. Love. Love has power to change your church. Now, these are just introductory remarks I'm making. It won't take long with the rest of it, but I want us to get hold of this. I want us to understand. And, you know, and I don't even have this down, but love will help you with all the consternation that you go through and all the different things that don't go your way. And you've got to love God and let Him take care of it. Let Him take care of it. I've had on several occasions in both ways here as well. The wife says to me, Preacher, you just don't know my husband. And vice versa. Well, if it's that bad, I'm not sure that I want to. But you know, people are not always what they appear to be at church. I know you know that. They're not. But I don't want to be some one thing at church and another thing at home. Even though there are times in your home and mine that we have to ask God for His grace to help us, especially when we take a stand for Christ. Also, let me say this to you this morning, and this would especially apply to you young people. Love has the power to change your future. Maybe you say, well, I've already got my mind made up. There's no need talking about it. I got my mind made up. Well, if you love the Lord and you love His Word, and I don't know how you could do one and not the other, He'll lead you in your future. Your future can never be what it ought to be without Christ and His will. It can't be. Without me, you can do nothing. So, yes, love is God's plan. It is His plan. Now, let me share three thoughts with you this morning. God's love for you and me. God's love for you and me. I want you to look at, hold your place there and go to 1 John with me. I wasn't going to turn to the verse, but I believe I should. And 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1 John chapter 4. And let's look at verse 10. 1 John 4. Verse 10. Herein is love. Notice closely. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word has the same meaning as referring to the mercy seat, indicating our go-between, our propitiation. The Lord is the one in our access to God the Father. See, the Bible is God's love letter to every one of us. When I grew up, the only thing I knew about the Bible on our coffee table, such as it was at home, there was a big family Bible, black with gold letters. Never will forget. It was never looked into. It was never. My family didn't grow up with spiritual emphasis. But God took care of all of that. Story we won't go into. Most of you know. I've told it so many times. But it's God's love letter to every one of us. We need the Word of God. And I could spend so much more time on every one of these thoughts. Next, God loved us when we didn't love Him. Now let me say this. While we were yet sinners, He loved us. I look back at my life before I got saved, and you've done the same thing. You know, I'm sure I'm speaking to some people here this morning that you didn't go to Sunday school or church, and your life wasn't all that shiny when you were growing up. God loved you anyway. He loved me anyway. And all that, you know, and as you grew older and you went your way in life, He was still there. He was convicting. One day through someone, being in church, whatever, He convicted your heart and you realized for the first time that you needed to be born again. You needed to be saved, and God saved you in spite of your past. Wonderful God. God, oh my. And because in all of that, God has love sent Jesus to the cross. I've already referred to John 3:16. And I want you to turn to this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I know you know it. You've heard it many times. But I want to share it in light of our subject today. God will never be separated, or we will never be separated from God's love. And here in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, look at verses 38 and 39 with me. Paul closes this chapter by saying, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." Notice what he's saying. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Of course, you can't experience the love of Christ without the love of God, without the love of His Son and knowing Him as Savior. Oh my. How do we recognize the love of Christ in us? How in the world do we do that? Did you hold your place there? I want us to look at verses 4 through 8. We'll read verse 5 again, but that's okay. Here in Romans chapter 5 that we have just read. Let's read that and start with verse 4 this time. Go down through verse 8. I want to back up to verse 2. Let's do that. "By whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." Now notice that. We glory in tribulations. "Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And here's the verse we all know, or should. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Let me further break love down for us if I can. Love is patient and kind. Are you, one of your qualities of life, is it that of being patient? Some of us have a real problem with that. Patience. I believe love can do more to help us be that way than anything else I can think about. patient and it's kind. And this will touch hearts. Love is neither touchy nor angry. You know anybody that's touchy? Boy, I mean, just at the least little, you look wrong or do something, man, they're ready to put your lights out. Rough. Touchy nor angry. Love is never selfish. It's never selfish. Love is quick to forgive and does not hold grudges. Folks, we're talking about real love. We're talking about God's love here. We've already, in our preface here, love looks for the best in others. You ever notice some of you talking to someone and when some name comes up or something, it's always, for the most part, not every time, but for the most part, their faults are pointed out, not their good traits. God's love in our hearts. Oh, how we need that. And God's love for you and me. And then, will you go back with me to 1 Corinthians? This time we're going to, the same chapter. We're just going to look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. Paul begins this chapter by saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, most all of us, I'm sure we all know that word means love. Charity there means love. And have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I know I'm speaking to people that you love to see lost people get saved, do you not? Don't you love to see someone's lost get saved? The only way you and I'll see them saved is love them to Christ. Down through all these years, I make it a point in witnessing, and if I get to the point where I can present a plan of salvation to an individual, I like to start. I don't know of anything, it's been my experience anyway, that gets that individual's attention more than to say, and looking at them right in the eye, you are aware that God loves you, aren't you? I had never had a person say no. I know. Yes, I know God loves me. Well, you know, God, since he loved you so much, gave his son to go to the cross of Calvary. And there die for your sins. Shed his precious blood. And so on. But we have to approach people and do our best through the love of Christ to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us to go into a lost world with his love. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. But you can't teach a lost person until you get them saved. Well, that's a tremendous responsibility and duty of a missionary. Duty, I emphasize that. To win those people to Christ and then begin to teach them the Word of God. I just got a letter the other day. I'm having trouble remembering the missionary, but that's not the main point I want to make. He was talking about this family that were just, what we might sometimes say, man, they're just heathen. They knew nothing about God. In the beginning, didn't want to know anything about God. But through love and persistence, and see, if you love a person, they know you care. You can't do that without loving them, showing them you care without loving them. That don't mean that you go along with their lifestyle and what they're doing and lost without the Lord. No, no. You just love them. Love, boy, I don't know of anybody that deserved God's love. You're looking at one. I sure didn't. But as I heard the Word of God, I realized that he loved me. And because he loved me, he gave his best. I wonder why it is that we are almost, or most of the time I'm trying to say, hesitant to just say, here it is, Lord. We kind of sometimes, we're not careful, want to give God second best. Or if we have anything left over, we'll give that to the Lord. That's not what the Bible teaches. Put him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Yeah. Matthew. Seek him first, and he'll take care of you and me. And then in Acts 1:8, there he says, ye, when we come to know the Lord, Ye shall be my witnesses. I'm going to get on your toes. I'm going to warn you up front, okay? I'm just going to get on your toes. When is the last time you told anyone about Christ? When's the last time you witnessed to someone with the intention of leading that person to Christ? I know we're busy. I know we're running like chickens, their heads cut off. I understand that, but that's too busy. When you're living such a life that you don't have time to be a witness for Christ, terrible shape. And we need to pray. I'll challenge you. I challenge you to do this. When you pray, you ask God to give you the opportunity to witness to someone, and you stay in tune with the Lord, I guarantee you'll have more opportunities than you ever thought you'd have. Because we do it, we live our lives every day, and sometimes I'm sure we go from morning, we have time we get up till we go to bed at night, and we haven't said a word to anyone about God. Sometimes that goes on for days, even weeks, even months. We don't say a word to anyone about Christ. I believe one of the main reasons that we don't do that is our love for God. Yes. Our love for God. Back some time ago, I believe it was Mary's funeral when we went up in the country. We went to where my wife and I were married. Well, they've built onto it now. It looks pretty nice, very nice church. Presbyterian church there in Draper's Valley, Virginia. So just off of 81 as you go south before you get to Withville. And we went there, and they wanted to get some pictures, and who was it made the suggestion that I kiss my wife? They had to beg and beg and beg me to do that. It had to beg me. But they got a picture of it. And I was looking the other day. I have it on my phone. And I was looking at it. I was looking for that in particular, but I came across it. Had a crying spell. That's the lady God gave me. That I still love from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. Oh my, but I said that to say this. It doesn't even come anywhere near God's love for me. Nowhere near. And she'd know if she's sitting there and was able, she'd agree. Folks, I'm telling you something. It's amazing. All of our going and our witnessing as we're in that particular part right now is ineffective without love. And that's what he was telling us here in 1 Corinthians 13. He says if it's done without love, he said, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And it's true. It's true. I thought about this morning. As a matter of fact, it's right across the road over there. Oh, it's been 20, 25 years ago. I've been trying to win this man to the Lord. I stopped by there one day. And I'm just going to be blunt and tell you the truth. He was so drunk he could not hardly stand up. Matter of fact, I don't know how tomato juice helps someone like that, but he had, but he got most of it on his shirt. And I began to tell him how God loves him. And I know he wasn't sober, but I still believe he was sober enough that he understood what I said. And he began to weep like a little baby. Because I was telling him that in spite of what condition he was in, that God loved him. What can you say when somebody tells you that God loves you? Oh, yeah, I guess you can run into an agnostic sometimes. And they want to be cute, and they'll tell you they want nothing to do with God. But even when they make the statement, then their hearts are convicted. I believe that. I believe it. They can't get away from anything. Or someone, actually. And let me say this as I get ready to close here. Preaching without love is just a bunch of noise. It's all this. That's all it is. Witnessing without love, as I've tried to emphasize, is worthless. It's worthless. Giving without love is a bad investment. Bad investment. But reaching out in love, let's kind of change it here a little bit. Reaching out in love brings results. You see, love reaches more people than logic. Well, you know, logic gets you in all kinds of trouble. A lot of things that you see happening for God's not logic, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It really is. Love reaches more people than tact. I believe we ought to be tactful. Certainly we do. But that's not what gets the job done. It may open the door, may give us the opportunity, but you're going to have more tact. You have to have the power of God on your life and pray the Holy Spirit speak to their hearts. And churches, and there's nothing wrong with it, but every year they have soul-winning seminars. It's okay. I've had days gone by, I've taught soul-winning classes. Used to teach one to the latest visitation on Thursday mornings. I probably shouldn't tell it, but we've had as high as 20, 25 women in that room downstairs for visitation that teach them how to go soul-winning. Lord knows all about it. Love reaches more people, as I said, than training. And love reaches more people than good arguments. You're not going to argue with a person very long. Sometimes you may get on the side where you help them to see, but as a general rule, argument doesn't win people to Christ. Matter of fact, they'll use that to get away from what you're trying to say to them. Doesn't work. We must love people as they are. I never forget when we were in Africa and we stopped on the way in and pulled in there for the missionary to do whatever, and these individuals surrounded the truck, and I was on the back of that truck watching our luggage. Had we not, there would have been no luggage on the back of the truck when we came back to it. But they looked at me like, boy, if I, you know, and actually I was scared. I didn't know what one of those people might do. I guess there was 10 or 12 of them. They wanted what was on that truck. There's somebody else there with me too. Were you back there with me, Jay? You weren't there on the truck. He probably ran, hid somewhere. No. But anyway, there's people lost need the Lord. So I had the missionary there. And those people, a lot of them lived out in the bush. Not all of them. There's a Kiwi, I guess was the name of the place. But anyway, they needed Christ. And I was trying to see behind what I was looking at a heart that was cold, without God, desperate for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how Jesus, I'm not comparing with Christ, but this is the way Christ sees what you and me don't see. That love pierces beyond their faults, and their shortcomings, and sees the need to be saved. His love can make them, the old song was, it makes them what they ought to be. I want to think I'm speaking to the majority of people in this room. Every one of you that are saved has a testimony about how you heard the word, how you came to know the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. But the main thing that brought you to Christ was His love. It was His love that it enabled you to be where you heard the gospel, whether it was from an individual or in church or wherever it was. It's God's love. God's love. So, when you don't feel loved, just put your eyes on the cross. Someone does love you so much. Words can't explain it. You see, the cross proves God's love for you and me. It does. Ask the Christ of the cross to love others through you. And by loving them, doing what the Bible instructs us to do, we won't win everybody we try to win, but we'll win some if we keep trying. It'll happen if we love them. So, love is the greatest. Nothing greater than God's love.